Welcome to the DoHawk Dozen podcast, a series of stories of Loras College young alumni from around the globe. Regardless of where they are from or where they are now, their time at Loras connects them all. Let's do this. Welcome to the DoHawk Dozen podcast. I'm so happy to introduce you to April's recipient. This month's DoHawk Dozen guest is Natalie Drosky, a 2018 graduate who was involved in countless ways during her time at Loras, including the Legacy Symposium student assistant, Lorian contributor, and even a part of the Honors Program project that bought a new projector for the planetarium. But even more impressively, since graduating, she has continued to find ways to be involved in Dubuque and her professional life in marketing. Natalie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
So excited to have you. Ooh. We love to start all these with a walk down memory lane of why you chose Loras.
Yes, I have a really fun first experience at Loras College. So I am really close with my first cousin, Megan. And Megan, I'm not going to say what year she graduated, save the age. But Megan and I have been very close, and I was honored when she chose me to be a part of her wedding. Megan got married at Christ the King Chapel on campus, and so my first experience at Loras College was actually at her wedding. Megan was a student ambassador at Loras, so she went into full student ambassador mode in her wedding dress, full on, full glam. And so my first experience of Loras College really is carrying Megan's train while we're trying to find photos or places to take photos for her wedding, right? So she's literally like walking around in her wedding dress, pointing out Kane Hall and the library and the Rock Bowl. And so I just think that was a really special way to experience Loras. It was in the middle of summer, so before classes had started, so campus was very quiet. So I really got that firsthand experience, and it was a fun trip down memory lane for Megan as well.
That's so special. So do you remember when you finally got to like officially take the tour, or like was that just it for you? Like that you were sold?
Yeah, so I knew that I wanted to go away to college. I wanted to go away for college. And that 3-hour mark, I'm from the Chicagoland area, so that 3-hour mark was really the sweet spot. You know, I was far enough away from home where I kind of felt like I could grow independently and kind of have my own space, but then it wasn't too crazy to come home for a weekend or holidays or things like that, right? So, I think my first official visit at Loras was probably the following summer. I was a junior. It was that between my junior and senior year were that. I think my first official visit to Loras College was during that Iowa private college week the following summer. So I had tours scheduled at Loras, Clark, and UD. Toured Loras first. Met the professors that I was going to be, you know, learning from. Met some peers. It's actually really funny. One of the guys that was in my tour group for that first visit day is actually still one of my really good friends. So it's really fun to kind of see how our friendship started and how it's grown. I didn't even make it to the other colleges because I knew that Loras was the one for me.
I love that. That's such a great story. Amazing. And a lifelong friend that you made right on a tour. That's amazing.
Yeah. That's cool.
So cool. Well, I mentioned at the beginning that you were really involved in you were really involved during your time at Loras, you know, with Legacy Symposium, part of the Honors Program that brought a new projector to the planetarium. How did all of these experiences at Loras set you up for success after graduation?
Yeah, I think coming out of high school, I was a multi-sport athlete. So going into Loras, I decided that the athlete route was not a path that was going to serve me. So I had all this free time on my hand for the first time ever. And so I wasn't somebody that was going to sit in my dorm room and watch Netflix, which is nothing wrong with that, right? But I definitely wanted to get involved. And Loras offered a variety of ways in which to do so. So I think the first one, the Lorian newspaper, was probably the one that appealed to me most. It made the most sense for me to jump right into. And it was really cool. There was an opening in the sports department right away my first year there at Loras. And that really, I'm trying to think. Like, it really scratched that itch, having been a student athlete and making the decision to not compete in college, being the editor of the sports section of the Lorian, really allowed me to be involved in the sports world without having to play or commit to practices or things like that. So really enjoyed my time at the Lorian. The group there was a special bunch. We bonded right away on Tuesday nights when we would lay the paper out. It was a really fun atmosphere in the office. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. So the journalism track was something that I was kind of pursuing from day one. It had always appealed to me. I was involved in my high school newspaper once upon a time. So the Lorian was a track that just made sense for me right away at Loras. And, you know, being a journalist on campus, right, you make a lot of connections and you meet a lot of people and you do interviews and you attend events and things like that. So I made a lot of connections right out of the gate. And I think that really paved the way for the connections I maintain in the Dubuque community today.
That's amazing. I love hearing the stories about the Lorian. It makes me think I was really involved with LCTV News. So mm-hmm. We were like representing the two different journalistic mediums. It was fun. And Tuesday nights were a big night for us too.
Yes.
Show on Wednesday. So yeah. I love hearing about that.
Yeah, that's a good time. And
you mentioned, you know, like the connections you were able to make. It seems like you kind of carried that into your professional life post-graduation, just knowing all these different things you are involved in, including the Young Professionals Board, Julian Dubuque Film Festival volunteer, Carnegie Stout Public Library Foundation vice president, and part-time job at Midwest Girl. So yeah, just tell me about this. It seems like you like to be involved in things. You like to have those connections and make an impact.
Yeah, I think, if we can skip ahead to one of the things that I would tell college students, especially as you enter into the workforce, is to make those connections. My connection at the Midwest Girl specifically, so my cousin Megan that introduced me to Loras also introduced me to the owner of the Midwest Girl, and that position and that role there, Marissa, the owner, has allowed me a lot of freedom at the shop to kind of do things my way, hone the processes. It was a very young company when I started my sophomore year, but that would be something that I would encourage students at Loras to do, is to get off campus, right? So I was able to get off campus once a week. I worked Fridays. I was done with class at 10:50 and had to report for work at 11 and worked 11 to 5. So it was certainly doable with my college schedule, and it allowed me to meet a lot of people that were in the Dubuque community just shopping, you know, so it really taught me those interpersonal skills and how to make small talk. It's something that nobody really teaches you. So I really enjoyed, you know, that like interpersonal, like meeting people, the Dubuque community aspect of that role, just working retail. I mean, kind of low stakes, but really enjoyed the work itself. And then, yeah, like I said, Marissa's been so great, you know, allowing me to hone those different processes, whether it's shipping materials or doing inventory or, you know, ordering the supplies that we need for the shop. It was a great way to kind of take everything that I was learning about being a professional and kind of scaling it down and you know, putting it into practice. So that was a great thing, as that was part of my Loras College career, not necessarily on campus, but it was a connection that I made through a Loras alum, right? That was really part of the larger experience. So kind of skipped ahead there, but.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point to make. Getting off campus in college is, yeah, that's a great tip. Do you still help out with the Midwest Girl?
Yeah, but I'm usually there a couple weekends a month, and yeah, it's still really fun. I'm now in photo shoots and things, so people will stop me and say, how do I know you? And it's usually the Midwest Girl is how people know me, because they'll see me in photos or at the shop, right? And yeah, it's just really fun. The staff there, so I was the second employee. And now we have, I think, over 12 women that work there. And that number's kind of fluctuated over the years, but it's been really cool to see different women come in and, you know, make their impact on the shop and, transition away. It's been really, really fun to see that business grow and evolve.
Yeah, I've watched it from afar too. And it's great. Love that brand.
That is cool.
You know, I mentioned that you're on some boards or you volunteer throughout the community. What drives you to be involved in the community?
Yeah, I think, especially not being from the Dubuque area, I really had to work to make Dubuque my home. So where I'm from, North Aurora, Illinois, I come from a big family. And so people knew me, you know, and it was, you know, being part of that community, it was, you know, people knew me, they knew my mom, they knew my aunts and uncles. And, you know, it was kind of easy, to make connections, because I had that network in place with my large family and large network of friends, that it was easy, you know, to meet somebody or make a connection or grab a reference. And coming to Dubuque, I have some family that's across the river in Wisconsin, but nobody knew me here. So I really had to work to kind of make a name for myself, right? Professionally, but then also, I mean, I want to have fun here. I want to live here. I want to be part of that community that I can give back to and that can give back to me. So I think it's been really fun exploring things that Dubuque offers that maybe my hometown or other communities in the United States don't offer. So I think the most fun opportunity that's kind of fallen into my lap is my position on the Carnegie Stout Library Foundation Board. So that was a position that I stepped into after completing the Leadership Dubuque program through the Chamber of Commerce. And it's been really fun. It's the nonprofit arm of the Carnegie Stout Public Library, and I've been a huge reader. I'm an English major by trade. Reading's been my go-to hobby since I could read. And so it's been really fun stepping into that role and serving the library and their patrons in that capacity. And it kind of came from that connection from Leadership Dubuque, from the Chamber of Commerce, from a previous role that I had been in doing social media for the Chamber of Commerce. So it's kind of that whole big who knows who, what are you interested in, kind of word of mouth that has been really cool building that network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The theme that's just coming out is just connections. Yeah. And they are so important. Like, this is such a good lesson and for students, you know, who might be listening or new graduates and even just people, you know, around our age. It's just a good reminder that connections are huge.
Yeah. Can I backtrack to a different question?
Yeah.
So in my time at DeLorean, I got really close with my co-editors, right? And so when it came time for graduation, what those next steps are, the big scary part, right? We were searching for internships and roles and interviews. A co-editor of mine actually presented a job description to me and said, hey, the cell office gave me this job description for a social media intern role. And I don't think it's going to be a good fit for me, but I think it'd be a great fit for you. And come to find out, that internship or that piece of paper that she physically handed me in the DeLorean office one day turned into an internship, which turned into a full-time position, which turned into a 5-year career for me working in social media. So from there, working in social media, doing social media for small businesses was really the key to the Dubuque community. We worked with a lot of local businesses, and being that intern transitioning into a full-time role, I was able to work on a lot of the local accounts and meet people, including, you know, the folks at the Chamber of Commerce, the folks at YP, the folks at some other local businesses, including the Midwest Girl. It's kind of funny how small our community is. You know, they say that Dubuque's the big town feel and a small town community. And I think that's really true. And I, you know, working in the social media field, marketing for these local organizations, was really where I made a lot of my connections.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that job came about, you know, someone at the DeLorean just thought it would be a good fit. Did you think that you would get into social media marketing before graduating?
Not at all. So my degree was in English creative writing with a minor in journalism and public writing and rhetoric. And like most college students, I didn't know what I was going to do with it. I just knew that I always liked reading and, you know, kind of had a knack for writing, and kind of figured that let's pursue something that interests me and then have faith that something's going to come through. And it did. So I think the social media route really challenged me from the perspective of I'm very long-winded typically, or I can ramble very well. I'm a pro rambler. So working in social media, working in short, succinct sentences, writing copy for social media posts was really a big challenge. And it really took those skills that I had kind of always honed and really grew them into skills that could be marketable. And then social media as a whole plays into, you know, it's a piece of a larger marketing strategy. So then that kind of led me to where I am today working in the larger marketing sphere. It just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. Who was the person at DeLorean who, you know, recommended that to you, if you don't mind asking?
I'm trying to think. Has she gotten married yet? Kayla Thompson. She's engaged. I don't think they've gotten married yet. So she's still Kayla Thompson, but yeah.
Shout out to Kayla.
Yeah.
Are there any other DoHawks who have made a really big impact or maybe a small impact that ended up being bigger in your life?
Yeah, I think what's really fun. So I had mentioned during one of my visits, I had met a fella, shout out Joe, that I'm still friends with today. What's really cool, and they kind of, you know, they always say like, you know, you meet your best friends in college. And I, not that I didn't believe that, but what was really cool is my junior year specifically, we were rooming next to some folks that, you know, when you're rooming next to somebody, you come and go and you kind of chit chat. And little did I know that those folks that I was rooming next to would be my friends here now at age 27. So we have a little friend group that went through junior and senior year together. And here we are at age 27 and we're still getting together for trips to the Dells or spaghetti night potlucks or to watch Caitlin Clark bring home her next W. It's been really fun seeing, you know, when you're in college, your babies in college. And, you know, now it's funny kind of seeing how much we've grown up since our Loris days. It's been really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And what are those people's names?
Oh man. It's really fun too. Cause so we're in this fun area where now it's, you know, we were in college and now we're getting married and having babies. So Rachel Prendergast and Noah Schoaf, it was a hoot and a half being part of your wedding. You know, the one that we missed, that we lovingly say we lost, Thomas Ball was part of the group and still is. He's the one that went down to Davenport for a job. So I think it's fun that, you know, none of us are from the Dubuque area, but we all stayed in Dubuque. We all fell in love with this community and, you know, became really close friends, and we've been able to sustain that relationship without really thinking about it. It kind of wasn't really a question that we would leave Dubuque or go home. So having that support system in place around graduation, knowing that I got to keep all of my college friends, was a big factor for me staying in Dubuque.
Yeah. And yeah,
RIP Tom, who went down to Davenport for a job, but I guess we get it.
It's so close, right?
Yeah. And we still see him pretty regularly. So, yeah, it's not far at all.
Are supper club nights a thing?
Supper club nights are a big thing. Yes. Especially now, you know, when we used to live next to each other, you know, it was super easy to pop over and just say, hey, hang out. I had a rough day, had a terrible class or, a really hard test. And I had those friends that were right next door where I could go over and, you know, just hang out and kind of decompress. And now that we're real adults, those nights are fewer and far between. But I do think that, you know, we work at it. And supper clubs provide a great avenue in which to connect and, you know, kind of keep those friendships alive. So it's not uncommon that you'll find us down at Lewisburg Junction or even Gooch's Greenhouse, not really a supper club, but we love Gooch's. Timmermans is a favorite. And I love that supper club atmosphere where you're not expected to eat and leave. So we're able to eat, maybe have an appetizer, cocktail, grasshopper at the end of the meal, right? And kind of actually spend some quality time together and connect. And those are definitely times that I'm going to cherish for a long time, especially as our lives get busier, as, you know, we get into relationships and, you know, the next phase of our life. Supper clubs are big.
Are there any faculty or staff from Loris who have really made an impact on your life?
Yeah, I think when I look back at my time at Loris, there are two classes that specifically stand out in my mind, and they were both J-terms. So J-terms are those 3-week courses in the brutal cold of January in Dubuque, Iowa, where you kind of rapid fire learn a topic, right? And so my first J-term, my first year at Loris, was photojournalism with the late Patrick Pizarik. And I think about that class a lot because we covered a lot. You know, we covered composition of photos, we covered the history of photography and camera technology and things like that. And I think that was the first time where I had a class with that wasn't other first years. So I was really able to bond with that course or with that class and learn about the topic of photojournalism. And those are skills that I use today in my role as the marketing manager at Med1, you know, when we're choosing stock imagery or organizing our own photo shoot, I look back at those skills and everything that Professor Pizarik taught us in that one class. And I think about that class a lot. You know, there was some really fun projects. We went to the Dubuque Ice Fest, which is still an annual event that is hosted by the National Mississippi River Museum. Would definitely recommend attending if you have the chance. But yeah, that first J term I think was really impactful for me. And then my second J term there as well. I was a big fan of the J term. my second J term was with Dr. Kevin Koch. The course was Writing the Midwest Landscape. And that was a course that really challenged me for the first time as a writer. You know, Dr. Koch not only brought us into the frigid winters of the Dubuque area region, but he challenged us to see things a little bit differently. You know, it wasn't just a patch of snow. It was a collection of snowflakes, things like that. I really learned a lot about not only the Midwest landscape itself, you know, the land, the history of the land and the Native American history of, you know, where our buildings reside now. You know, we learned a lot about the history of the Midwest from a geological perspective, from a cultural perspective. And then it was always really fun to see how all of us were writing about the same thing, but we all brought a different perspective to it. And that's something else that's really stuck with me. You know, nobody is going to have that same perspective that you do. And we could all be writing about the same patch of snow, but everybody is going to write it a little bit differently. So those two courses and those two professors really did have a huge impact.
So DoHawks are getting ready to graduate in a few weeks. Any advice for them?
Yeah, I would say don't take yourself too seriously. I remember I ended up graduating in December. So I graduated a semester early. And I think that was difficult in and of itself because I think I was one of four that did so. So there was only four of us that were going through that same panic moment, you know, whereas the rest of my friends had another semester to kind of figure things out. But I would say relax, you know, things will fall into place for you. The cell office, is that still a thing?
Yep.
I think. Okay, great. you know, the cell office is there to support you, whether it's an internship, whether it's some interview skills. I would say that just reaching out goes a long way. And now I think I'm in a really unique position where in my role at MedOne, you know, I work really closely with HR. And I will say that, you know, the folks that reach out and say, hey, thanks for meeting with me, or hey, I have a question about this role, those are the folks that stick in the mind of our HR team. So I would say if there's a role that you really want, go after it. Otherwise, relax. You know, things are going to fall into place. You know, your DoHawks are there to support you. Yeah, it's really fun. It's not as scary as you think it is.
That's great. That's amazing. Yeah. You got a little interview career advice in there too.
So. Yeah, that's good.
Well, I want to play a message from a DoHawk who nominated you for this honor. So here we go.
Hi there. My name is Anna Johnson and I graduated in 2018, but I'm filming this video to nominate Natalie Drosky to be the next recipient of the DoHawk Dozen. I've nominated Natalie for a lot of reasons, but the main reason is because she's a shining example of what it means to be a responsible contributor. She gave so much to the DoHawk community while she was at Loras and has given so much to the Dubuque community since graduating. I think she's a shining example of what it means to be a young alumni that gives their time, talents, and energy to the local community that they live in. She's done so much through being a volunteer for local nonprofits to working part-time for a small business in addition to her full-time job. And she even reads the newspaper every single week to stay up to date on what's happening in Dubuque. And I can't name a single other young alum that does that. So Natalie is unique and Dubuque is very lucky to have her. Congrats on being the next DoHawk Dozen recipient.
Very sweet.
Yeah, that is such a nice message. What are your thoughts and feelings?
Thanks, Anna. Yeah, I really am 85 years old because I do read the newspaper every Sunday. And
hey, you know what? Charlie and I used to get the Chicago Tribune delivered to our house every day. Yeah. We stopped because it is a little pricey, but we still read it online. So I feel that. I loved reading the newspaper.
Fantastic. Yeah. And maybe it's from my days at DeLorean, but I just love the smell of newsprint. And I usually walk down to the gas station to get it. So it gets me out and about on a Sunday morning. But
that's great.
Oh, so sweet.
That's the best.
Yeah.
Well, that was I guess we have one more little surprise, our rapid fire questions, if you're up for that.
I think so. That section was blank in
the... I don't want you to think too hard about it. So they'll just be quick questions and just say the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Okay. Is your bed made right now?
Yes, absolutely.
Go to lazy dinner.
I think it's an old family recipe from the days of Lent. It's a box of elbow macaroni with browned butter and ketchup.
Interesting. Never heard that one yet. Your favorite time of day?
The morning.
Book you're reading currently?
The Women by Kristen Hannah.
Hmm. A show you're binging?
It's always going to be Friends. Nice. Any time of day.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh. Probably something by Shania Twain, but I've never sung karaoke, so
Ooh,
to be determined.
Yeah, we have to get that for you. Travel to the past or travel to the future?
I think the past. Yeah.
Cannonball into the pool or dip a toe first?
Dip a toe.
Sweet or savory?
All the sweet.
One lesson you wish you'd learned sooner?
I think to not take myself too seriously.
Purple or gold?
Purple.
And favorite spot on campus?
There is a spot up on the fifth floor of the ACC, and it's that big circular window, and the ledge is just deep enough where you can sit there and read.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Yeah.
I was really excited to hear what you were saying for your book, since you are a writing major.
Yes. Phenomenal book, by the way. I would totally recommend it. It's like a Vietnam historical fiction novel. It's phenomenal.
Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Natalie. It was really, really nice talking to you. And I'm so excited to see what else you do in your post-grad life in Dubuque.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
Of course. And thanks to everyone for listening to the Duhok Dozen podcast. Be sure to stay tuned to find out who is our May recipient. Thank you.